You're listening to The Onset of refreshing, inspiring, and relatable outdoor stories and conversations with your host, Elizabeth Brownell. The Onset Podcast, part of the OKS Podcast Network.
Think I can fly. Think I can fly. My arms are wide. Catching fire as the wind blows.
Welcome to the Onset Podcast. This is episode 10 with your host, Elizabeth Brownell, presented to you by the OKS Podcast Network. And today I'm here with a really special guest for episode 10, and we're kind of dropping some crazy news, just in life events as well. Lots been going on, but I'm here with my boyfriend, Austin Evans, at AE Films Gang.
And NK Window Wash.
This is his first podcast. I'll let you talk, but you know, he did have to go to the store to get some wine. So we're just all going to be really nice.
And gotta get loose.
Yeah. Welcome.
It's an honor to be here on episode 10.
I feel like he's been seeing a lot of, like, behind the scenes of, like, what I've been doing and, like, people I've been interviewing, so.
Yeah, I've seen and listened to quite a few guests and, like, live. Had the camera on in the background. And
for a couple of them, yeah. We are filming this one, so I do have to at least give a quick shout-out to Hunt Lift E, because I'm wearing the mix-matched camo right now. In the woods, out of the woods, but HLE, just really cool group. If you go look at any of their apparel, use code ROOKIE10 for 10% off. So
plug it. Plug it.
Shameless plug. All right, before we get started, do you want to introduce yourself to the good people on here?
Yeah, for sure. My name's Austin. I grew up in Montrose, Virginia. Right now, I run a window cleaning business called NNK Window Wash. I also have a film business, AE Films. I went to Christopher Newport University in Newport News. Played on the golf team there and studied biology. Yeah, I've been kind of active in the outdoors from a really young age. My father really got me into it. He's been a hunter and fisher his whole life, and a commercial waterman. I've also been a commercial waterman, you know, from a young age. I crabbed a 250 pot license for a long time. And yeah, that's really the extent of my background.
Yeah. And I do want to interject, crabbing has been, that was the first time I ever got to try it, and that was definitely one of, like, my favorite things that we've done together. Like, I learned a lot, and I thought it was one of the coolest things ever. Like, I wanted to quit my job that day and literally start doing it.
Crabbing is, yeah, it's,
I know there's a lot more work to it. I literally just saw a very small part of it, but
it's fun for a little while, and then after a while, it's like, man, like, this is real work. I mean, you're making good money doing it, but you're not making a killing. And it's dirty work. You know, pots get dirty. It's a lot of stuff you don't get paid for in crabbing. I'll say that, yeah. But it's very cool to see what's in the water and be on the water. There's nothing like being on the water day in, day out. Like, that's the best, for sure.
Yeah. Especially in this area.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this has been our first season, like, hunting together.
Yeah.
For deer. When we were just friends, we hunted turkey together and we fished together. But we kind of started dating, and then, yeah, I guess, like, deer season
We started dating and did some cobia fishing, and we did some bow hunting this year. And honestly, our luck's been terrible.
He says that, but also he killed a really nice buck a couple weeks ago. Wasn't during bow season, but
no, just regular firearms.
It was like opening weekend of shotgun, right?
Yeah,
So, like, yeah. I killed my doe opening weekend of muzzleloader. He killed a nice buck. It was a, what, it was an 8?
Yeah, it was an 8-pointer. A decent little 8. I mean, probably could have used another year, but...
I personally hate when people say that. I feel like if you pulled the trigger, like, I don't know. I even told him that, like, when we were kind of gunning it, taking it out, because he said the same thing, and I was like, I don't know, like, I feel like that's, like, disrespectful to the buck, like...
No, I mean, I don't regret taking it. And I mean, I'm getting a Euro skull mount for it. Yeah, there's bigger deer on the cameras that we have that I would much rather take, but not so easy to kill those.
And I will say, I guess in Virginia, we do have 3 buck tags, so I feel like people are always surprised to hear how many buck tags we have, so.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, yesterday I had a neighbor take one of my target bucks, a big 12-pointer.
Well, tell the story of, like, what your encounter with that deer.
Yeah, so it was the Friday after Thanksgiving, which that weekend before Thanksgiving is when I killed my 8-pointer. And I went back to the same tree stand that following Friday, and I don't know, around 8 a.m. I had 3 does go by, and I filmed them going by, and they weren't in any particular hurry. Didn't really look like anything was chasing them. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, Austin, like, it's the time of year where bucks chase does. And I just continued to kind of just scroll through Twitter. And about that time, I heard some crashing and looked up, and there he was, like, 25 yards, kind of jogging, grunting, and he came right at me and, like, stood right underneath my stand, maybe 5-6 yards away, and I think my scent kind of hit him, but he was so focused on the does that he just kind of stalled for a second, and then he kind of trotted behind the stand, and I stood up, and I'm shooting a 20-gauge Harrison & Richardson slug gun, single shot, so I pulled the hammer back, and I just got him to stop, you know. I went, meh, and he stopped right there, 25 yards, and pulled the trigger, and just thud. And my heart kind of sank. I was like, what just happened? And I pulled the hammer back again, put it on him again, and pulled the trigger, and just thud. And I guess at that point I realized, like, this shell is a dud, the primer's not initiating, and I start reaching in my pocket to grab another one, and the deer was still standing there. Like, I think he was looking for the does that had just walked by, and before I could get another shell in, he kind of took off running, and sure enough, a week later, I mean, I had him on cam 2 or 3 more times, and I just knew, like, this deer, he was hanging on this property. We were going to get a chance at some point. And yesterday morning I was hunting and I heard 2 really close shots, and we're hunting a 50-acre parcel. It's not a giant piece of territory. So there's people hunting, you know, the neighboring territories. And sure enough, it was the neighbor. They got him. It was 11 or 12 pointer, like 21, 22 inches wide, really nice deer for around here. But I mean, we still have one absolutely, just for this area, just absolute stud.
I've talked about him before on the podcast. That's, yeah, JC, that deer. So yeah,
he's like a mainframe 6, but he's got to be like 6 to 8 years old. Like, the mass on his horns is just, you can just see it. Like, I've got pictures and videos of him for 2 straight years, and he's actually gone by a couple of my stands this year in shooting light, but I haven't seen him probably in 2 weeks. I actually had him on camera like 20 minutes before shooting light the day that I killed my 8-pointer, like right next to the stand that I killed him. And I was really nervous walking in the woods that I was going to bump him getting to that stand, but also seeing him so close to the stand, I was kind of like, this might be the day. but yeah, he's still out there, so hopefully we can cross paths with him and not be as unfortunate with the shells. Went and bought 2 box of slugs that day.
I guess so. That's why, like, I don't know. I've been kind of vocal on my page. Like, I feel like firearm season just isn't my favorite. Like, it's not something I look forward to. And I feel like when archery goes out and then muzzleloader goes out, and then there's this period of time where it's like only firearm, which we don't live in a county that allows rifles. And that's not something I've ever like shot at a deer anyway. So I'm not too heartbroken about that. But even just shotguns, I don't know. It just doesn't get me going, I guess. And so I feel like when that happened to you, though, I was like, ooh, I was like, that's why. And I even kind of said something, and I was like, you know, that wouldn't have happened with a bow, but like you even said, you wouldn't have had a shot at him.
No, he showed up so quickly, and I'm hunting an area where you really can't see deer unless they're 20 to 25 yards from you, and he came in there so hot, you know, like I say, he was grunting. He was looking for those does, and he caught me so off guard that it was just like surreal. And I had never seen him on camera to that point. So when he came in, like I could see the wide rack coming through, and I was like, oh, this is JC. Here he comes. And like I was looking for the characteristics that JC has, like the little drop tying on his front, on his left beam, and I was looking for the little crab claw stickers that he has. And like this deer just like, I was mesmerized. He just walked up to me or trotted up to me, and I'm like looking at him, and I'm like, I've never seen this deer on cam. And I mean, this piece of woods, I have 6 or 7 cameras throughout it. So I feel like I've seen all these bucks for the past 2 years, 3 years. I kind of know which one is which. So when he came up to me, I was like, that's JC. And then when he was right underneath me, I was almost like starstruck looking at him like, that's not JC, but I've never seen this
deer. Yeah, it's not JC, but who is that?
And then I was like, oh shit, I need to like shoot him. Like he's right there. I could jump on his back. I really was kind of not paying attention. And ironically, that seems to be when it happens for me. Like when I pull my phone out and I'm not really engaged is when they tend to show up, which I don't think I could have got him with the bow, and it's so thick that there's really minimal shooting lanes on that property for that stand. But I have experience with that stand, and I know that the bucks in the morning, they come through that patch of woods to get back to the bedding area. So I was just, JC is the biggest deer I've ever hunted, so I want him bad, and I'm willing to kill him with a slug gun. And I've hunted Westmoreland my whole life. We've never been able to hunt with rifles. Really, muzzleloader and slug guns have really been the only thing I've hunted with. That and bow, you know, in October. But it's always kind of been like once archery's over. I don't really have the properties to, I would say, archery hunt all the time. And I mean, you can't archery hunt after November 17th in the counties that we're in. So really, once muzzleloader comes in, it's like, if you haven't taken a deer with a bow by then and you really want meat in the freezer, it's like, hey, pull that muzzleloader out and extend your range a little bit. And I have really good track record with my muzzleloader and my slug gun. So I'm confident in those two pieces of equipment.
I do think it's funny because it's been such a different season for me. I think public land is different from private, and I went from just constantly being in a new spot, like knowing the areas, knowing like which WMAs I was going to, like which federal properties I was going to, but never really like sitting in the same spot. And I definitely just never really had cameras out. So it's like, if I saw a buck, I'm like, first time, like I've never seen you before. Mm-hmm. So this season's been a lot different. Just first of all, learning your private land. The amount of times I've gotten lost, and I'm so frustrated because like, I don't just have my self climber and I'm not just looking for a good area. Like I'm looking for a stand that's like already there. And the amount of times I've been so close to it, but, like, still, like, didn't even see it or, like, just kept walking. Like, It's been really frustrating, but also it's been, like, really, really nice. Yeah. And just, I think, like, I don't want to say, like, cameras are a... I mean, cameras are definitely, like, useful. I feel like seeing you, like, wake up every morning, like, I'm not kidding, like, this man will, at 2 a.m., he'll wake up, go to the bathroom, come back, and he's on his phone, like, looking at his cameras. Like,
I'm addicted to
yeah,
it,
and I feel yeah. like that is one thing I don't like. Like, it's, like, first thing in the morning. It's, like, any time I look at him, and I'm like, most girls be like, who are you texting? I'm like, what bucks are you doing? You know, who's on the camera? Because, like, I know what he's doing, so... I think that's the only con to it, is, like...
Yeah. I can't tell you how many mornings, like, I said I was gonna hunt, and mm-hmm. then I, like, didn't hunt when my alarm went off, and then I'm checking the cameras at, like, 7:30, and then, bam, there's one of my shooter bucks 15 yards in front of my stand, and, like, she'll tell you I'm just instantly in a bad mood. I'm like, God, I...
Yeah, I feel like it. You can't come from your couch, you know what I mean? So it's, like, sometimes yeah. if you don't go, but then... I feel like can't, you know, I would have never known on the days that I didn't hunt public, like, what I was missing. And, like, mentally, that's cool. Like, I'm not bumming myself out. But, like, you have gotten, like, really frustrated a lot of times because, like, you're either at one stand and then they showed up at a different yeah. one. And you know that because of your cameras. Or you yeah. straight up just didn't go.
Like, I mean, I think the last week in October, if I would have hunted the correct stands, I would have killed three bucks or... shot at three target bucks, JC being one of them, all within a span of like 3 days. I mean, it's clear there's a few does, I guess, coming in during that last week of October on this property because they are hitting the scrapes hard. I mean, it's kind of the pre-rut still at that time, but I see them chasing, so.
And I think that's another thing I realized is like, even that morning, he had that encounter with that buck where his, like, gun didn't go off. I made a joke, like, I would have already shot those does. Like, the three does you just, like, watched, like,
yeah.
I probably would have shot one of those. And it's, like, not even had a chance at that buck. But...
I mean, I think one thing I've learned with private land, like, it's not like the spots we're hunting are, like, amazing spots, you know? Like, we've got quality deer, but it's not a huge amount of deer. And it really is. Once the rut starts, it's like you can literally watch a doe walk into your property. And then it's like, if I see a doe walk in on one of my cameras, I'm like, I need to go hunt that stand or around that area because there's going to be a buck behind her. And it's crazy because you'll watch one or two does walk in, and then that night, three bucks will come in. And it's just like they're chasing. Like, one of those does is hot, and they're on him or on her. And, yeah, it's just – it's crazy. Like, I love – like, I don't knock public land hunting at all. Like, that's a whole different skill set from this type of stuff. But I love, like, learning the piece of land that I'm hunting.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like turkey hunting.
Like, as hard as deer are to pattern, realizing, yeah, kind of like that's what you are doing on private, and you're not having, like, that pressure that you don't know. I think that's one thing I've liked. I feel like sometimes when I was hunting public land, I'd have to, like, the social anxiety part of me, I'd have to be like, okay, like, if I run into people, yeah, I have to talk to them and, like, or not talk to them, but you know what I mean? Like, have that, like, etiquette right. and just, like, be able to deviate my plan. And it's like that, I have not had to worry about that, like, once this season, like, knowing that no one else is, like, pressuring these deer, and it's just...
Yeah, and I mean, I really don't shoot does. Like, I haven't shot a doe.
I'll shoot them for you, it's fine.
In 3 or 4 years. It's just, I don't know, I watch them bring the bucks onto my property, and...
And I will say, I feel like you don't have a large...
It's not a huge amount of does. I mean, if it was, I would. Like, I don't want to make a doe factory, but I don't feel that I have one. You know, and... Yeah, I watch them bring the bucks on the property, like, consistently, so I actually want to grow the number of does that I got right now, because I don't think I have quite as many as I would like, because some of these bucks, you know, they'll disappear for a month, and then they'll just pop up out of nowhere. But same thing with turkey hunting. Like, I've literally been hunting the same
territory for turkeys. It's a different spot than we deer hunt, but I've been hunting this one particular patch of woods for, I don't know, since I was in fourth or fifth grade, and consistently every year I kill 2 to 3 turkeys out of it, and it's crazy because they sit in the same places every year. They roost in the same places every year. It's just like you get to learn a piece of woods, and like I love developing a history with a patch of woods, and it's just like when the first day of turkey season comes, like I almost know the tree I'm gonna sit on every year, and it's like I love that. Like, of course it'd be cool to have some new spots and hunt some turkeys that are maybe less pressured, because like the territories around there people hunt as well, and I'm not the only one with permission to that field. So if I don't get one on opening day and I have to work all week, there's going to be guys going in there because it's a good spot. But I love like having a piece of property that you can kind of not really call your own, but like you can map it out and you can, you know, like you say, pattern the wildlife there. So that's really fun for me. I like that.
And I guess we'll segue... use this to segue into kind of like why this season's been a little different for me. And I keep saying, I've gone on podcasts and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I've been saying like, yeah, due to like, you know, health issues, like I'm just not carrying around my self climber. I mean.
Yeah.
There's a turkey in the oven.
Yeah, there's a rookie baby.
We have a little girl on the way, April 2024.
For sure. And it was like a huge, I mean, this is like the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
Again, we'd known each other for a while, like, we'd been friends, but we really weren't, like...
No, we weren't,
Like, dating.
No, we weren't dating, and we were... a minute. Legit, like, just hanging out, and, I don't know, for a couple months, two or three months, just hunting and fishing, and we even had dinner a few times.
Yeah, we're neighbors. I guess we should preface. Yeah. Like, we are neighbors. So, like, when we were friends, like, and I feel like people are, like, all the time, it's like, oh, yeah, but, like, you're friends. And it's like, okay, like, but we really, like, genuinely, we were just friends.
Yeah, we were just friends.
I don't think, like, that was on our radar. And then, obviously, it changed.
I think we just had a lot of fun with each other.
Yeah. And I think I don't want to, like, ruin the friendship. Like, I was having so much fun, and, like, I know that complicates things, and so I don't know. We were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were having a lot of fun. I think I initially asked you out first, and she rejected me.
Because, again, I was having so much fun. Yeah, like,
I got rejected.
I just wanted to keep you in the friend zone. Like, I was having so much fun, and I knew that was going to complicate things, and I think I needed you as, like, a friend at that time.
I mean, it's not like I didn't, like, go home and cry. Like, I was just, like,
well, and okay. I feel like
I shot my shot, and I miss it. Life goes on.
And I feel like I respected you because I feel like some guys are kind of, like, mean after that, but you just, like, we kept hanging out, like...
Yeah. So never give up, guys.
Yeah, never give up. You can get out of the friend zone. But in all reality, like, this season, I mean, that was a curveball, right? Like, that was, we found out in August.
Yeah, like, August 1st.
Yeah. And obviously, like, we weren't really...
No, we were pretty shocked.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, a big life decision, life thing. But ultimately, like, I think we just kind of...
Well, we were both kind of like, look, I was 32 and you were 27. And it's like, we're not
like, we both have houses, like, we're financially stable, like, we're at an age where...
Yeah, we can do this.
Yeah, where so. We can do this, and it's really, like, a decision to make together, so I think that's kind of what we did, and it's not that I haven't posted it, because, like, because I've been, like, hiding it. I feel like everyone in our life has known from, like, very early on.
Yeah.
But honestly, I will say, like... It's been pretty shitty. Like, I'm not, I wouldn't, I don't want to say, like, I wouldn't recommend, like, 1 out of 5 stars. I know people get heated sometimes. Like, I think you can be grateful for, like, the situation, but, like, still, being pregnant is not easy. And I feel like I was so used to a pace in my life where I wasn't, like, hindered by anything. And I feel like losing your... It almost feels like you're losing your bodily autonomy for a couple reasons. It's not just, like, your body is changing and you're not, like, recognizing these changes. It's, like, I haven't been able to... Like, it's just different. It's so different. Like, this is going to be the first winter. Like, I literally am not allowed to go snowboarding. Like... Or it's, like, hunting. It's, like, I almost hunted 40 days last season. And, like, this season, like, if I could count, like, it's it's a sad amount.
Yeah, being pregnant is not, I mean, from my observations, like, she doesn't get to do stuff she would normally do. She doesn't feel great all the time, which I hate to see it, you know. I just feel like it's the natural side effects of being pregnant. But, yeah, she's got to go through a lot. And, you know, we just wanted to take all the precautions to make sure everything is going well. And, yeah, she's been a trooper.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're even hunting, I think it's pretty badass, you know. And, yeah. Hopefully we'll get her out there in turkey season after she pops out.
I know, he thinks when he found out the due date, he was like, oh, that's perfect. Like, right before Spring Gobbler. I was like, in what world do you think we're going to have a newborn and we're going to sneak off into the woods?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we'll see, but it's definitely just been different. And I don't know. It just feels weird to complain. I remember, like, early on in the pregnancy, I would just cry because, like, one, hormones, but two, I know people struggle to get pregnant. Like, I know women all over the world, like, this is the only thing they want. Like, they want to be a mom. And so it feels so weird to complain sometimes because, like, one, this was a surprise. Like, this wasn't planned.
It's not.
And, but two, it's like, yeah, I'm not having a good time. I feel like some women are like, they have a great pregnancy. It's like super easy. Like they're glowing the whole time. And I don't know. The first trimester was like awful. And then the second trimester, everyone was like, oh, trust me. Like it's going to get 10 times better. Like you're going to feel so much better. I got to the second trimester and like still I did not feel good. And until recently, I mean, it's gotten a lot better, but
yeah,
I would say still like there's just a lot of bad days. And it's just, again, it's not that I've been hiding it from this account or like not wanting to share it. I know like it's just different and I'm trying to be like nicer to myself. I'm trying to be like more patient with myself. However, it's just different, and I appreciate you saying that. And again, like, if he didn't have, like, private land to hunt, I don't know what I would be doing. I mean...
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard on you to...
Yeah.
Like, I don't want her carrying any tree stands around right now. Like,
no, like, and even the self-climber, it's only, like, 20 pounds, but...
20 pounds on your back.
For, like, a mile or two, yeah. Like, that's just not... Even just walking through the woods, like... I'm constantly out of breath, and I have been since, like, week 5.
Yeah, like, when she was very freshly pregnant, I mean, we put some trail cameras out. I think we hung...
put a stand up.
We put one stand out together.
I thought I was dying.
It was like every 100 yards, we'd take a couple minute break so she could rest and like catch her breath again.
I think all the time I'm like, damn, like sometimes I'm like, damn, like he didn't even see me in my prime of me like doing everything on my own and like, you know.
No,
just,
I mean,
like, I've... getting after it in my own little space. So now it's, like, I feel like a little, I don't know. There's just been a lot of tears, and it's been pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's been tough on her. I wish, as a guy, I could, like, absorb some of the stuff that she has to go through. Because I'm a part of it, you know. But I just have to support her where I can, you know. And that's really what it comes down to.
But yeah, I feel like now that, like, I guess, yeah, this is me announcing it to, like, not just the onset, but, like, rookie hunting, too, like, that whole space. Like, I don't know, I guess, like, things are going to continue changing because it's not just, like, me being pregnant at the end of this. We, like, literally have a human child to take care of.
Yeah.
And I can already tell, like, my energy is just not where it used to be, and so I know that's going to continue to change, like, with a child. Like, I'm fully prepared for that.
Yeah, your priorities change a little bit. Yeah. And you got a little bit less time for yourself, which I think both of us are committed to take care of what we've created. And
yeah, and also, like, not
we're looking
lose
forward
our,
to it,
yeah,
you
and
know?
Also, like, not lose ourselves, like, completely.
No,
like,
no.
On the baby registry, there's definitely a little, it's called, like, the sea rock, I think. It's like, it basically attaches to, like, the T-top of your boat, and it's, like a baby
carrier. Yeah, like,
carrier.
You put your baby
yeah, it's
in
like
it
a car and... seat, but for the boat. And then there's definitely an REI, like, baby carrying thing. And I've had multiple people, like, laugh when they see that on the registry, and they're like, you're not going to be using those. And I'm like, just wait. I'm like, we're going to figure it out. Just wait. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
2024 is going to be an interesting...
It is. I feel like 2023 is just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is flying, though. It, like, literally feels
I will say,
like
yeah. So I'm 20,
we just found out.
Yeah, I'm 22 weeks right now. And we found out because, like, I just had a regular doctor's appointment. So I just, like, went in. And my OB comes back in. And she's like, yeah, so, like, we're not going to be able to do the pap smear today. And I was like, oh, like, that's weird. Like, it's my, you know, like, just your annual one you have on schedule. Like, I've had it scheduled. She was like, yeah, you're pregnant. And I was like, no. I was like, no, I'm not.
No.
Yeah, I was like, wrong test. You must have mixed it up with someone else in here. Like, she was like, yeah, you're pregnant. And I was like, we just kept going back and forth. Like, I was just like, no. I was like, I'm not. And at one point, I was like, but I've never been pregnant before. And she goes, yeah, sweetie, like, that's how this works. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, damn. Yeah, I was like, damn. That's kind of when it hit me. I was like, fuck. All right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's one takeaway from this episode. It's pattern your deer and stay in the
yep.
streets. Use protection.
Yeah, that's the truth.
But before we hop off, you have a funny story. And it's not related to any of this, but I do want to talk about it.
What's my story?
the Bass Pro.
Oh, my God.
Mugshot.
Yeah.
Basically, he almost got arrested for Bass Pro.
I mean, when I was, like, 12 years old.
As a minor, yeah.
Like,
sounds cooler, but...
I mean, it's not really something I'd like to bring up, but...
Wait, really?
I mean, it's not a... I don't think anybody would really want to...
I think it's hilarious. You don't have to. No pressure.
I mean, I grew up on a lake, and, you know, I was always in the outdoors hunting and fishing, like, from a young age, and I did a lot of bass fishing. me and my friends were really into bass fishing, and we would have little tournaments on the lake, you know, like five fish total weight. And me and one of my buddies, we kind of started getting sticky fingers in the fishing section at like Walmarts and stuff like that. And we were so young, I just feel like we didn't really know what we were doing. And like,
you also, when you told me, you also said once you did it once and realized like how easy it was, like,
yeah, we stuck a couple spinner baits in our pocket and walked out of the store, and we were just, you know, we don't have money at that point in our lives, so like getting fishing lures was kind of like we just felt cool, and like we continued to do it, and like, you know, you go from taking one to taking three to taking four. And I went on vacation one time, and the Bass Pro in Hampton had just opened up. And we would vacation in Virginia Beach every year, so on the way down we stopped by Bass Pro, and I was like, I'm gonna get some shit here. I mean, I was like,
I'm going shopping.
I was like, I'm getting some baits. And I was just a huge bass fisherman at the time. I loved it. And I went in there and I made a pretty nice hit on the way down. Like, I got quite a few baits, you know, walked out of the store and like nothing happened. Went on vacation. And then on the way back, we were kind of like, hey, we want to stop by Bass Pro again? And I'm like, yeah. So I'll never forget, it was like raining, and we
set the scene.
We go into Bass Pro, and like, I'm like full confidence, you know, like I've been kind of taking fishing lures for, I don't know, like a month or two at this point, and never even like had a close call. So I was just like, no fear. Like, I'm just loading my pockets with anything that I wanted. Like, I would take it out of the package, but I'd put it in my pocket. And,
Shit. Wait, you're taking, I always thought you were just putting the whole thing.
The package in. No, yeah. I was always real worried about like, if you put the package in, that when you walked out of the door, like an alarm would go off.
How did that work with like the hooks though?
You wear some jeans and you walk.
You're like, I had padded leggings.
But yeah, I went into that Bass Pro and I was like, because at that point I would.
Also, it's not like we live near Bass Pro. So like, I imagine that's like.
I knew that was going to be the last time I was in Bass Pro for like a year.
I'm not justifying it, but I understand where you're coming from.
So I was like, you know what? I'm making a hit. And I mean, some of the baits I put in my pocket were like more than $15, you know, just certain crankbaits, jigs and stuff like that. So it wasn't like I like had like a bunch of stuff in my pocket, but, I remember walking out, and there was a woman in a red coat, like standing there in the rain. And like, at the time I was with my stepdad and like my best friend. And we walk out, and she walks up to my stepdad and is, like, talking to him. And I didn't think anything of it. I was, like, completely just unfazed at what was going on. I was like, I wonder what she's talking about. And then she looks.
Not me.
She turns and looks right at me, and she's like, hey, I'm going to need you to take all those fishing lures out of your pocket. And I was, like, just stunned. I was like, oh, my God. Like, and she was like, all right, come on back with me. And she took me to the back, like, in Bass Pro, and they proceeded to, like, they just tortured me a little bit. Like, they called the cops. They got the cops there. They put me in handcuffs. They got some guy to come in there, and he's like, when you get home, you're going to send me your shotguns. You're going to send me all your fishing poles. Like, you're going to juvie, and, like, when you get there, the 16 and 17-year-olds aren't going to let you eat. They're going to eat all your food. Like, I was in there bawling, like, my eyes out, just crying. And I had, like, $80 worth of fishing lures in my pocket, which was, I mean, that was a pretty good amount for that time. And, I mean, they pretended to arrest me, scared the absolute shit out of me, and I learned a valuable lesson at a young age, because I think they kind of realized, like, hey, this is just a young kid who loves the outdoors so much that he, like, he wants all this stuff, but he can't have it. He's resorting to some, and I'm very thankful that they did what they did.
Yeah. At such a young age. I was going to say, you probably haven't stolen anything since.
No, it could have escalated. Like, if I would have continued snowballing that, like, that's not a good thing to do. But I was so young, you know? Like, it's just one of those lessons that I learned. And, I mean, it definitely was bad for me. Like, my parents heavily disciplined me. Like, I worked with one of my stepmom's a school teacher, so I worked with the janitors for a full summer, like, and I couldn't do anything. Like, it was awful. I definitely took some value from that lesson, and I don't really know what to say.
I think you said it all.
I was just a little...
I think at some point, though, like, I don't want to... You're not the only one. Like, I wasn't, you know, for people who were listening, like, obviously I started hunting as an adult. So the stuff I stole as, like, a preteen, it was, like, nail polish and, like, that kind of shit. No, it was, like, when I think the brand, like, Essie came out, and they're, like, $8 a piece. So, like, me and my friend Kelsey, we would steal, like, probably, like, 10 each, which, like... adds up, but never got caught or anything. Yeah. But thanks for sharing. I love that story. I think it's a funny one.
Definitely not a story I'm proud of, but
I think it's okay. Like, you were a kid. You can forgive yourself.
Yeah, I was definitely young, and it was just a love for the outdoors that kind of...
You wanted those fucking bass.
I loved bass fishing at the time, and, you know... Like,
also, I will say, going into, like, again, like, finding the outdoors as an adult, you see that little box of, like, a little, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren, I would have never guessed, like, the prices on that shit, so.
Oh, yeah, there were certain crankbaits, Lucky Crafts. At the time, they were, like, $16.99, $17.99, and I used to look at them in the magazines all the time and be like, man, I want that. And I just wanted to try them. And, like, so I think what I did is I grabbed, like, two or three of those and really just some smaller stuff along with that. And I remember, like, the day that they emptied my pockets and was in the back. Even when I walked to the car and, like, on the way home, I, like, reached in my pocket and I still had, like, two or three jigs that I forgot to take out.
You hear that, Bass Pro?
So I still got something on you, Bass Pro. No, it's...
this episode's definitely sponsored by Bass Pro, though.
Yeah, they told me I'd never, ever be allowed to go in there again. And they had a picture of me, and, like, you know, they were never let me buy anything from there. And I don't know, I've been in there a gazillion times since then. Like, it was just a scare tactic. And I was a young buck.
Yeah.
Little skater.
For sure. All right. Well, thanks for sharing, and thanks for coming on this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just... I don't know. Yeah, I'm stealing from Bass Pro and getting girls pregnant.
This was a great introduction. Yep.
I'm really a better human than this.
Well, with that, yeah, I guess that's episode 10 for you. Keeping this one short since we packed a lot into that. Still have, like, a month left of the hunting season in Virginia, so hopefully we can do something, but,
yeah, hopefully we can get JC on the ground. That's really the...
I just want, like, three more does, in the freezer.
Lord help us.
Yeah. Yep. All right, well, I never know how to end these.
We'll catch you next time.
Mm-hmm.